Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio, where we'll talk about news, education, and opportunities for small businesses on the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street and in Washington, D.C. I'm Michelle Yancey.
And I'm Kyle Todd. Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the 100th episode of Rhode Island Avenue Radio.
Yay! Can you believe it?
I cannot. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Kyle. How are you?
All is well. I cannot believe 100 episodes already in the bag here.
I know. Doesn't seem like that much.
It's great stuff.
It is.
So to celebrate, we have some prizes to give away. I'll tell you about that in just a minute. First, we want to thank, as always, our sponsors, the Department of Small and Local Business Development and the Department of Housing and Community Development. It is through their grant dollars that we are able to produce this show and that we are able to provide small business education and grants to all of the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street businesses. So big thank you to DSLBD and DHCD. I would be remiss if I did not point out that we are at the beginning of budget negotiation season for the DC budget. And this is for the FY19 budget. I cannot believe it already. And this is the time of year where the public is invited to come testify about how they feel about the work that different government agencies are doing, like DSLBD and DHCD. So if you are a fan of the way taxpayer dollars are being spent to help improve the hyperlocal economy in each of our neighborhoods through the Main Street programs, look at the DC Council website. It's dccouncil.us, and check out the calendar of hearings and exercise your rights as a resident and a voter and sign up to testify and give feedback to the Department of Small and Local Business Development and the Department of Housing and Community Development on how you think their work is going. And obviously, if you like the work that Main Streets is doing, give them a pat on the back on our behalf. We'll be there testifying, but it really makes a difference as the budget season goes along. It really makes a big difference to hear from voting constituents about how you feel about how the organizations are doing. So dccouncil.us is the website. Check out their calendar of hearings. Okay, so we have some fantastic guests lined up in celebration of our 100th episode today. I am so excited. But we want to thank you listeners as well. Because, come on, Michelle, if people weren't listening, we wouldn't be
doing
this.
We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have 100 episodes under our belt. Wow.
Yes. So, in order to thank you all as listeners, number one, we need to be able to find you. But we're going to ask one favor of you. We're going to ask that you go to our iTunes store. You can find RIA Radio on the Apple iTunes store. Go over there and give us a thumbs up, give us a rating, and give us some feedback. And we'll say that the first 10 feedbacks that we get, we will figure out how to get in touch with you. And
they'll have to tell us how to get in touch with them.
They will have to tell us.
Yes. And we'll get in touch with you.
And they can email us at kyle@riamainstreet.org, kyle@riamainstreet.org, and let us know you left some feedback. And the first 10 people that give us some feedback on the iTunes store and, you know, hopefully a good rating or two, we'll send you some swag.
Some Rhode Island Avenue Radio swag.
Yeah, we got some fun stuff to give away. Branded with RIA Radio logo. And, you know, we want to thank you for being a listener. And so get over there and give us some love. Okay, we'll give you another reminder before we leave. But let's get into this 100th episode, shall we?
Yes, we're going to start with the news.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Aaron. Hey, Aaron.
Happy
back.
100. That is absolutely incredible. Congratulations. That's pretty cool.
Thank you.
All right, so I'm Aaron Deneu, and this is the news. So today we're talking about a bungalow at 2614 Rhode Island Avenue. a site under that roof, the originator, Beau Diddley, born as Ellis Otha Bates, lived. Are you serious? This guy is an absolute legend. Once again, we find a true American hero that lived just blocks from where we're recording this this morning. He's really credited for being the bridge from blues to the rock and roll, and he's absolutely known for that pulsating and rhythmic music he heard early as a kid growing up when he visited the Pentecostal churches. He lived here in Washington, D.C. in a few different places from about 1957 through about 1966. Right around 1962 is when he was living here on our Great Strait here on Rhode Island Avenue. It was really one of his first recording studios he actually had in his house, which is pretty special. And so, you know, this guy not only invented a genre of music, he was literally crafting guitars. He was a guitar maker. He made these extremely unique guitars and was filtering them in ways that had never been done before, and in some ways making an early app of sorts. And that unconventional sound just really put him in a new place, and it was different than everything else that was being played in the 50s. And we see his influence across all genres, and in particular hip-hop. In 1987, when Reagan was president, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inducted him, and he is just yet another story of absolute grace and being at the top of your game. In other episodes, we've talked about Pearl Bailey and many other famous folks, but I can't believe, you know, they're literally just blocks from here, and I like to think of what they were doing back, you know, when they were living here on Rhode Island Avenue.
Yeah. So listeners that live here in the neighborhood, you may have noticed that some of the historic fire and EMS call boxes are being renovated. We're actually going to have the guy that's doing that in a future episode. And the one that's located at South Dakota and Rhode Island Avenue is going to be all about Beau Diddley.
Hey, look at that. Who do you love?
Right. So the box section of the call box is going to be redesigned to look like the body of one of his guitars, and the post that goes up from that has the little light sitting on top of it normally. The light's gone from that. They're going to make that the neck of the guitar.
Oh,
and then in the box there, they'll have a little blurb on the history of Beau Diddley in the neighborhood.
That is absolutely incredible. You know, he's known for being a guitarist, but he actually grew up playing the violin.
Oh, wow.
And so what an incredible guy. That's so cool to hear. He's going to be honored that way. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, Aaron, as always, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much. Happy 100th episode.
Yeah, thanks.
It is time to welcome one of our first guests for episode 100.
Yay!
And, you know, who better to have join us than one of our other community communicators, I guess, sharing of the information about the community. We're going to welcome Shawnee from the Brookland Bridge blog.
Thank you. Happy to be here. And congratulations on your 100th episode.
Thank you. Thanks. Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Brookland Bridge.
Yep.
It's obviously a blog about the Brookland neighborhood,
yep.
Which for people who may not live in the area, Brookland is one of the neighborhoods that touches Rhode Island Avenue Main Street. We've got six neighborhoods that touch RIA Main Street, and Brookland is one of them. And Brookland has quite a big historic history.
It sure does.
Historic history.
That's redundant. It
has a long and varied history.
Yes,
it does.
Yes.
Fascinating.
So how did you get, what prompted you to start this blog?
So what really happened, I've always been sort of civically engaged. You know, when I was in high school, I was involved in, you know, the,
Civic engagement,
right. Mm-hmm. So I've always sort of been involved in stuff like that. And then I think when you buy a house, that also sort of kicks it into overdrive. So when we purchased our house here in Brookland about 9 years ago, I saw that there was this thing called the BNCA, the Brookland Neighborhood Civic Association. And I said, well, that sounds like something I'd like to get interested in. And, you know, we were only here for like a month, and I went to my first meeting, and I was hooked right away. And it was just fascinating to me that there was this group of engaged citizens. No one was paying them. They were just there on their own accord, trying to better the community and have speakers come in and talk about changes. And then as I started attending more and more meetings, and then ANC meetings and things of that nature, I started realizing there's a lot of things that are going on, a lot of conversations that are happening that are going to affect and do affect on a day-to-day basis are the lives around us and changes coming to the community. And a lot of people didn't know about them. And then there's also the Brooklyn Listserv, which is really not a listserv. It's a Yahoo group, but everyone calls it the listserv. And that's an interesting forum. It is what it is.
It's not necessarily newsworthy.
Right. But, that's it. And yeah. That was the thing, is that I would go to these meetings and I'd spend the time 2-3 hours on a Tuesday afternoon or evening. And I'd say, well, that's not what really happened. Or you know, it'd be sort of a half, you know, or be rumors. And you say, no. Actually, I went to that meeting and here's what actually happened. So bottom line is I started seeing that there's a lot of underlying information out there that you can get to, but you really got to put in the time and energy. So what happened was I would go to these meetings, I'd get really involved, I'd have all this knowledge in my head, but that's kind of where it ended. And, you know, we walk our dog. And I think if you have a dog, you know that that's one way to get to know everyone in your neighborhood, right? So as I started making connections and neighbor, you know, and Brooklyn's a very neighborhood kind of a, everybody knows each other. If you really make just a modicum of effort, you'll know your neighbors by name. And, you know, so I really love that about the community. And so as I kind of made my rounds with my dog, I'd get asked, hey, what's going on? I saw a construction fence went up around that lot on the corner. What's going on there? Well, you know, at the BNCA meeting, you know, or, you know, at the ANC meeting. And so I started feeling like almost like this town crier or like, and I'm like, you know, maybe I should put this out there somewhere.
The businesses are coming. Yeah.
You know, or legit information, because there's a lot of rumors that kind of go around. And you know, and yeah, and that's the thing, is I'm sure you guys are super well aware of that. It's really hard to start a small business, right? So many times there's sort of stutter stops, and people are interested in a certain space, commercial space, and then word gets out, and then such and such restaurant's coming, or such and such expanding, and it may not happen, or may not happen for a long time. And I really felt for a lot of these small businesses, because I really felt like sometimes their reputation might be a little bit damaged, because people, they said they were going to open there and they didn't. It's like, yeah, well, you know how difficult it is to negotiate a lease, and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So there's a lot of things that I said, well, you know, if I kind of put out a blog where I could just put that information out there for people to see, and that's really one of our, we have a couple main tenets about the blog, and one of them is that every bit of like information, like I have a blog post, I look at all these great fall foliage, right? Okay. That doesn't need to have a source. But if there's something that you're saying, a business is coming, something's going to be shut down, or DDoT's doing such and such, we always have some link to something, whether it's another reputable blog, or whether like Eater, or, you know, DCist or something. Well, when it was around,
yeah.
That was one of my favorites, or from the actual person themselves. Like, for instance, like Menomale, you know, I was just like salivating for Salamaria to open, but we were very like, you know, I was very cognizant that, you know, it's really hard to get those doors open. And so the business owners that I do kind of communicate with, a lot of times I know a lot of things are might happen, but I really want to wait until they're comfortable getting that information
Absolutely.
Out, which I'm sure you guys, you know, I'm preaching to the choir, I'm sure. But that's one of the things that I really wanted to do is everything that's on my blog, I try as hard as I can to make sure that it's verifiable and it comes from a source that is legit.
Yeah.
So how many people do you have doing this with you? Because I've been following the blog for years and it has grown. I really like how it was very centered on Brookland initially, but you've really opened it up to Ward 5 and to Woodridge and Langdon and Bloomingdale.
Yeah, my readers are everywhere, and I actually get requests for more, you know, can you do more? I've actually get a lot of, can you do more in Rhode Island? It's really, a lot of it's me. So it's very homegrown. We don't bring in any money whatsoever.
Wow.
And it's really not that expensive to run. It's a couple $100 a year, maybe $300 or so a year, just to pay for some, you know, server space and, you know, hosting and everything. So the money, I mean, it's not a problem. I really don't want advertisers. People often ask me, hey, can I advertise? Or they say, you're stupid. You should be advertising. You could open it up and I'd have. But I'm like, I'm not doing this for the money, right? And how much money would that really bring in? And I never
would it be more of a headache?
Yes, it would be more of a headache. And everything is so polarized and political these days. I don't want to have, like, a lot of these services, they'll just plunk an ad on there and you'll get the money, but you don't know what the ad's going to be. I don't want someone being like, why are you advertising for blah, blah, blah? They're so controversial. And or I always want the latitude to be able to say what I want to say. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to have XYZ. Let's say it's a real estate company. I've had a lot of real estate folks saying,
and we have a lot the neighborhood,
right? A lot in the neighborhood, competing. And they say, yeah, and I understand, like, and I'm friends with a lot of them, and I'm like, yeah, but then what if somehow I want to say something? I never want to be in a position where, like, well, I can't, you know, really knock that ugly, horrific development. Not that I wouldn't do that, but, you know, I want to have that latitude. Yeah, and I'm like, so it's not, it's worth it. But so you were asking about the level of effort. It's roughly pretty much me writing everything. I do have guest bloggers from time to time. I really always have to give credit to Joe Barrios. He was an ANC commissioner right around the corner from us for ANC 5B04. He and I started it together, as a matter of fact. So it was really a brainchild of him, he and I, and we kicked around a lot of ideas. You know, what is this really going to be like? Is it going to be, like, anonymous? Is it going to be edgy? Is it going to be... And so he and I really fleshed out a lot of ideas, and he really set everything up. All the website, the server situation, everything. So he really got the technical back end off the ground, which I don't know if I could have done that on my own, plus all the content. And then we found, as he started becoming ANC, all these things, it was just too much for him to do the writing. So you'll see there's some really old blog posts from him. So I just feel like he sort of really helped me get the ship going in the right direction, and then he peeled off, which is great. That's fine. And then my wife wrote some blog posts for a while, and I but you know how it is. You're like, honey, how about you write about that Casey Trees event you went to? And she's like, oh, I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna let this become an issue, right? So if she doesn't feel like writing, doesn't feel like writing. But I do rely upon her to help me keep things patched and up to date, and that's one of the harder parts, that I just want to write. I don't want to think about how many people are trying to hack into, because you get malicious stuff out there all the time. So you want to keep things patched. You want to keep things updated. There's a lot of little plugins and apps that you can use. If we want to do a poll, for example, or we want to have like a nice slideshow of photos, all these things are exterior apps you have to kind of have plugged in, and they have to be updated or else you might get hacked or who knows what. So she really keeps a lot of that kind of backend stuff going, which is nice, and just lets me do the writing. Right now we have a couple of guest bloggers, really trying to reach out and do that more. I'd love to have more guest bloggers, but I, being that it's really on my free time in the evenings that I write this thing, I don't have time to coach someone, edit their work. It's got to be someone who can just plug and play, which is not as easy to find as you'd hoped it would be.
Yeah. So what do you think that people are requesting most in the way of stories?
Well, that's one of my challenges. I struggle internally with this a little bit, because I would love to be a bit more socially conscious, maybe, you know, do more outreach. And of course, there's always, no matter where you go in D.C., there's always a little bit of racial things sometimes. There's socioeconomic things at times. And so, yes, would I love to have a website that's really focused on outreach in terms of job fairs and things like that? I did a lot of things on, hey, here's a place where you can get your taxes done for free if you need help getting your taxes done. And so I try to do some social stuff like that, but I see the metrics. I have a dashboard where I can see how many hits I get, who's interested, and unfortunately, those posts don't get a lot of clicks. I still try to do some things like the coat drives. So I try to do things where, like, it's socially motivated, but it might bring more people. So people can say, oh, okay, here's a place I can bring my canned goods to St. Anthony's on the corner. And then maybe someone who needs the cans could say, okay, well, good, they have a pantry. So it's sort of connecting that way. But by and far, no question about it, people love to hear about new restaurants. Mm-hmm. And they want to know about new developments. Mm-hmm. Good, bad, or indifferent. Either they're, like, excited about the developments or they're not excited about them. They want to know about them.
Yeah.
And so this is another area where I really try to stay neutral. I just try to put the facts out. There are a couple of times where I'm just like, okay, that looks like a monstrosity. You know? And so I'll try to subtly maybe say that. But generally speaking, I try not to even weigh in. I just say, look, here's what's happening. Here's the rendering. There's going to be a zoning hearing on this date, and you can sign up to testify here. And that's all. I'd let the readers make up their own minds. But every year I do a roundup, and I you know, come the end of December, and I look at the annual numbers, and it's always you know, we did when Brooklyn's Finest before was open, we did like a sneak peek of theirs, and that was probably our biggest over the years, people just loved that blog post because you saw the raw guts of the restaurant and then you saw it get renovated.
Right. And that restaurant was so...
That was fun.
That was a controversial time in the neighborhood for that restaurant.
It was tumultuous.
To go on. Yeah. Yes.
And it's the irony is that it turned out okay.
Yeah.
Right? And I will be honest.
No, it turned out better than okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, okay, like there's no, like.
All the things they thought were going to be issues.
All of these broiling issues. And people were really heated. I mean, and people had like super fears. I mean, like I had some neighbors who were genuinely like super worried and nervous. And now those same neighbors are bellying up and having a great time.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the neighborhood, the restaurant turned out, you know, much better than we all thought of. But I mean, I'll be quite frank. I was nervous. I live like really close to Brooklyn's Finest. I can see it from my front porch. And I didn't know what
so
it was going to be.
You know? Or unlucky.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Thank you for the extra 20 pounds. But yeah. And so when I saw it, I was like, well, great, because I've been living across the street from a boarded up, you know, it used to be a dry cleaners back in the day, mm-hmm. Since I moved in, it just been sort of boarded up, and then there was a really small church that got together very infrequently. So I was delighted that there'd be something happening on that corner. However, nothing against the Pug and, you know, nothing against Solly's, but that's not exactly the type of venue I wanted on my corner.
Right.
Right. I don't mind going to 8th Street and having a, you know, Pabst Blue Ribbon or whatever you want. But I don't know if I necessarily want Pabst Blue Ribbon, you know, for $2 or whatever across the street. No offense at all. Love those places. But we're not 8th Street.
I'd be more offended at the Pabst Blue Ribbon. Sorry.
Beer snob.
I meant a Shiner. No. But we're not 8th Street, you know, and we're not Shaw.
Right.
And I love
Do we want to.
Nor do we want to. Right. You know, and yeah. So if you want to do that, that's great. You can go do that. But that's not what I want on my corner. And the proximity to Catholic University. You know, everyone knows about the party houses, which is something I've really not written about. But
you really haven't.
I could. I've stayed away from that. Because I know so many COA students that are great people and super conscientious. One of my guest bloggers coming up, he's a librarian at the COA library. And so, you know, you can't just paint one brush. And so I don't want to be that neighbor. But yeah, so I was like, so if you take kind of what you see as some of these divey-ish bars and couple that with a university, this could have been for all and I know, you know, I know Tony, I know he's a great guy, but I was like, hey, bro, what are you really trying to do here, right? And so but that's the thing, you got to have that conversation.
And it's a family restaurant.
Oh, it is. It's completely family restaurant, yeah, but it's a neighborhood restaurant.
Exactly.
It's so this is my favorite new anecdote, and this is what it is, right? This is real life. So now we have Masala Story. Thank God we have this Indian restaurant, which is so great, but they're super casual. They serve their food in a takeout box, right? Whether you eat in or not, right? But that's their style. We need more fast casual as far as I'm concerned. And then there's Primrose, which is a new, really nice, elegant, date night kind of place. So twice already, we've been hanging around the house like, okay, who's going to – you want to cook? Are you going to cook? Okay, I guess we're either ordering out or you know how it goes. So I'm like, man, but, you know, I'm not putting on real pants. Right? So I'm like rocking my sweatpants. I'm just like – so I can't go to Primrose, right?
Right.
Like,
and I'm just like, you could.
I could. No, no. And I told him the story, and he was like, you're always welcome in your sweatpants. I'm like, dude, let's not open that gate.
Yeah, not for a date night. Yeah.
I know. Let's not open that gate of yeah. I want to feel like I got to put on some jeans, like pants with a zipper.
Right.
So I'm like, but, you know, I kind of don't want to eat out of a takeout box either in my sweatpants. So Brooklyn's fine as it is. And so it's a great middle road. And, you know, it's such a great place. So all that to say, but that's getting back to the story. You got to sit down and talk with people, because that's what we did. We said, hey, Solly, you know, hey, you know, let's all get together. We got some beer. They were good quality beer. Right? And had some snacks, and we talked about it. Oh, you guys are doing a family restaurant. Oh, cool. Oh, hey, you have a sample menu. And this is where you get into that thing where you don't want to let too many things out, because they hadn't even applied for the liquor license yet. But they had the sample menu that Chef Shannon put together. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like salivating. I'm like, I saw pork chops. You know, I saw a $28 steak. I'm like, okay, this is not, you know, no one's, you know. All right, now I get the idea what you're doing here. You got to have that conversation before you start throwing stones, you know?
Right,
and I think that's really where we're trying to go at. And we actually named the blog the Brookland Bridge, not just because of the bridge, but because we thought this is maybe bridging community, bridging people. That was really good. And then also the play on word with Brooklyn,
right,
which was not the smartest. In hindsight.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if that was the best move, but it's catchy, I guess.
There's a Brooklyn bridge.
There is a Brooklyn,
and we're owning it, right? Yeah, we're owning it.
There is a Brooklyn bridge.
Yeah, so.
So, Shawnee, any thing happening that maybe we don't know about? Any sneak peeks?
Well, okay, so I don't know if a lot of people know. I did write about it, though, already. There is going to be a new bar at the Taste Makers.
Oh, yes, I saw
that.
That's
going to be great.
I don't know that I understand that concept.
Oh, it's great.
It's going to be like a mini Union Market kind of idea. So they have little stands and stalls where you kind of go in, and they're really ramping up with a lot of real cute classes and stuff that they're going to do. And so it's kind of like, you know, there's a lot of food trucks that are going to come in and sort of prepare something. And then they'll just do it for their food truck, per se. But then also have, like, you know, Saturday morning. I know they want to do breakfast. That's going to be great. So it's going to take them a while to sort of ramp up. I'm not sharing too much, but I think everything is out there already. And so the other thing that's super exciting right now is a Calabash Tea that's coming on the corner of Eve Arts and 12th. That's super duper exciting. And I think the rendering just came out the other day.
Yep.
So we're really excited about that. And I'm also personally, as a Latina, I love to see women owned business. I love to see people of color opening businesses. I think that's super important to kind of have that balance. I think DC has a really great entrepreneurial sort of spirit through it, but then you want to see that extended to all populations.
We had two female owned businesses a couple of episodes ago, so I think that you're right, that the opportunity is here.
That's one of my biggest frustrations about 12th Street and Brooklyn and everything, is that you had a lot of business owners that own these properties that are just sitting on them, you know, and it's just like, come on, give somebody a chance. Like, and I know, because I talk to a lot of business owners who want to come here, and some that are already here and want to expand or open a second location or, you know, sort of a sister property, and the leases are just through the roof, you know, for, you know, kind of
it's
broken down looking storefront. So,
you know, it's part of the development cycle. You know, whenever an area like Rhode Island Avenue and 12th Street, you know, have been relatively dormant for, you know, a few decades, and suddenly there's interest again, and sometimes property owners get a little speculative in their pricing, it'll readjust.
That's a good word.
That's a nice way to put it. Well, you know, a great example is the Baker's Lounge. So the Baker's Lounge was actually located at Eve Arts and 12th before this new Calabash location. She's relocating, actually, down the street by the CVS.
Yes,
so that's
we had her in.
Oh, fantastic. Catherine.
A while ago.
Catherine, she's so wonderful. Is that not the sweetest, nicest person you ever want to meet?
She is.
That's the type of person you want to see succeed on 12th Street, small owned business, someone who's got a great heart, who's really dedicated, you know, but I know she's had some struggles with really getting it going. That's the type of person I want to see supported, rather than see something sit vacant for a long time and then somebody with deep, deep pockets can, you know, open, you know, I like all businesses, but I just like to see sort of the smaller mom and pop places succeed.
And that's why organizations like Rhode Island Avenue Main Street exist, so we can help those businesses.
Yes.
Exactly. And we appreciate you, Shawnee. I have been reading you for a long time.
Thank you for what you do
for the neighborhood.
Oh, thank you. I hope to do it for quite a while. We actually just hit we're about 5.5 years now.
Wow.
And
okay.
So there's been a couple times I've really thought about stopping.
Right.
And it's nothing against the neighborhood or anything, but it's just
a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Yep.
And I feel very, very committed to it, but I really feel like you have to put out content all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes there's not a lot going on, so I'm like, okay, I got nothing. But I really try to do a blog a day, and that's a lot of work, a lot of commitment. But I feel if I don't do that, if it's too sporadic, then people, like, you
won't
sort of
be
lose
able to
people,
find
right?
You. Yep.
Yeah, and so I love that I have 300 or 400 people every single day that check the blog. You can subscribe to the blog, which is a thing that people don't know
about.
Yeah,
so please tell our listeners about that.
So you can go to the blog, any blog post, and then there's a comment field at the bottom. And all you have to do is sign up your name, your email, which we will not share with anyone at any time. There's no commercial aspect going on here, and there's no – we really try hard to protect our site, so I doubt it'll – you know. Let's hope nothing takes a hack. So I can't guarantee your email will never, ever get out, but we'll never share it, you know, willingly. And then you just kind of put a comment in the comment field, and then there's a box that says, keep me updated when there's new posts. Not to keep me updated on this particular comment post, but – and we actually have a post out there. You can just search in our search function about subscribing. And then you'll get an email every single time we have a new blog post. Great. So you don't even have to go visit the site. That's a really great way to sort of keep up with things. But I really try hard to keep a new post every day.
Okay. So before you go, tell our listeners the page where they can find you.
Sure. So we the blog is a website, which is www.brooklandbridge.com, brooklandbridge.com. But we also are on Twitter. And every single day, every single post that we post on the blog goes straight to Twitter. And then we also tweet a little bit other things that maybe won't make it to the blog, like we see something on the street. Oh, isn't that cute? And then we also do Facebook. So I don't know how Facebook does their algorithms, because I've had people tell me, I haven't seen half your postings on Facebook. And I'm like, I don't know, because I don't work for Facebook. I can't control how things pop up in your feed, but I try my best to post on there too. So.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by, Shani.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's a delight to talk with you, as always.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Yeah, and I'd love to do more stuff with Rhode Island Avenue. I'd love to feature you guys, and I'd love to, you know, keep my eye on what's going on the Avenue, because I know there's a lot of interest in Brookland. And you know, I got readers from all over the place. So,
yeah.
Great. And thank you guys for all the work you do.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be checking out your blog later today.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks.
So now it is time to check in with Casey at Good Food Market. Good morning, Casey.
Morning, Kyle. Morning, Michelle. How are you guys?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well.
So what is new at Good Food Market today?
I'm personally not crazy about Valentine's Day.
What?
I've always had folks around me who are really into it. We are celebrating at Good Food Markets either way. Crystal is thrilled. Crystal can't get over Valentine's Day. It might have something to do with the kids in school receiving their Valentines, everybody sharing. That's always a sweet part of it. But I think that the best part about the holiday for me is all the berries that become available. That's a good perk. I do like that. And maybe after Valentine's sales.
Right.
Stock up on chocolate.
So, you know, we had Dave Burton from Capital Candy Jar in here last week, and I know that they've got some beautiful Valentine tinted chocolates.
He does phenomenal stuff every holiday. He always comes through pretty early with, you know, themes for Valentine's Day, Father's Day. The holiday ones are so charming that he has, but Dave does a really good job with the candy. And so we do have his products. We've got Oreos and the clouds. You guys had a cloud?
Oh, yes.
I saw the cloud.
I could care less about marshmallows, but I can crush those clouds.
Yeah. You know, so what else goes with Valentine's? You've got wine.
We are having a rosé sale. Yeah. So that's something to get excited about. We're doing $1 off every rosé that we have in shop.
That's rosé wine, not rose the flower.
We will have roses, the flower, yes. Okay. But we're also doing, so you want to pick up a bottle of rosé, pick up a single stem rose, maybe a bar of chocolate. I don't know. It's a nice opportunity to be able to tell the person that you love that, you know, you appreciate them. And Valentine's Day is an opportunity to appreciate them. But, if you wanted to stop in and grab some stuff, we've got all the goods. We are having somewhat of a berry sale. This is always challenging for me as a produce buyer. We have some unusual produce deals that happen in winter, which kind of just goes against what people would traditionally think is a good time for produce. Granted, it's not local. It's not coming from this region, but they are coming. We've got a lot of good things from South America and Mexico. So we're getting a ton of blueberries from Chile. Those are a really good price right now for a pint of blueberries. I think it's something like $3.99 for a whole pint of blueberries. Mm. And as well, it's Florida strawberry season. And as a native Floridian, I'm very proud of the strawberries that we are able to produce for our nation.
And they're delicious, covered
in
chocolate.
So those are good price right now.
All right. Well, do you still have the handmade greeting cards there?
We're not currently doing greeting cards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, moving right along from
the grading cards. Plenty of chocolate and wine, though.
And you'll have flowers.
And ice cream and sweet treats.
All the good stuff. All right, Casey, please remind listeners where they can find all this good.
Yeah, you can find us at 20th and Rhode Island. We're right there, smushed between Global Print and Capoeira Spot. We are open 7 days a week from Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. And on weekends, we're running our winter hours, so we're open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. I am eagerly waiting for the time change so we can go back to being open until 9 o'clock for all of our weekend warriors. You can find us online, we're at goodfoodmarkets.com, and engage with us on social media. We're using Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
All right. Sounds good, Casey. Thank you.
Thanks,
we'll talk
Casey.
To you
next Thanks, guys.
Week.
Take care.
So, Michelle.
Yes,
you know,
Kyle.
This is bound to be one of my all-time favorite upcoming guests here.
I can just smell it in the air. You can smell it in the air. You can kind of taste it.
Almost.
Okay.
Like, I can envision it.
That's like, because we're looking right at it. What a great 100th episode.
No kidding.
We're dieting, but I think we're not dieting now.
So, all right. So now we're like doing the radio version of vague booking here.
Yes.
So we are welcoming with great anticipation. We are welcoming.
We're salivating.
Okay.
The
Lord of the Pies himself, David Knowles. Welcome,
yes.
David.
Thank you very much. It's a real honor to be here on your 100th. Yeah.
It's an honor to have you. You have no idea. Your ears should be burning. We've been talking about you since before Thanksgiving.
To be fair, we've been talking about his pie.
Well, yes.
I mean,
we've been talking about your pie. Yeah.
We really didn't care.
We didn't care about you, Dave, but we just cared about the pies.
Good. Yeah. That's how I want it.
Oh.
And David, you brought a pie, and that's what
we're talking about. A big one.
Yes, this is not a single serving.
Okay.
Well, Kyle, I should mention you not so subtly suggested that you wouldn't mind if I brought a sample with
See,
me to
that's
the show.
Saying, you know, it helps us promote your product,
right.
And I'm happy to do it.
We need to look at it, and we need to remember. You know, we don't want to rely on our memory. This is our 100th episode, so.
And David, you brought. Is this a cherry pie?
It is.
Oh, my favorite pie is
Mine
a cherry
too.
Pie.
It is.
Oh,
now,
okay.
See, Michelle, I was hoping you were gonna, you know, be a stickler with the key lime.
Oh, I mean, key lime is my favorite, but I didn't get that as a kid. Cherry pie was like the pie at my house. So,
all right, we'll figure out a way to split this.
So, Dave, the name. I love the name. How'd you come up with the name?
A lot of brainstorming and bouncing ideas off of people. I didn't want to be the pie guy, or wanted to be something unique. I like plays on words and whatnot. At one point I sent out, I kind of did a email focus group kind of thing, sent out a big list of potential names and asked people, which one do you like? And that was far and away the favorite, and I get a whole lot of great reaction to people loving the name. And I should mention, I'm real happy to say, after the process took over a year, but now it is trademarked.
Oh, nice.
So
nice.
I like to say, according to the U.S. government, there is only one Lord.
That's right.
And that is you.
Of the pies.
Of the pies.
Right, right.
And you have deserved that name because these are spectacular pies.
Yeah. So for our listeners that don't know, I first came across your pie at Good Food Markets and had never heard of you. So tell us about your business and how you got in it.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Well, I'll go back a ways, but try to keep it relatively brief because I have always loved pie as long as I can remember. And the first pie I ever made, I was in the third grade, and there was a bake sale where everybody brings in brownies and cookies, which I like too. But I wanted to do something a little different, so I certainly had help from my mother, but made a cherry pie, actually. I think it was my favorite back then, too. And brought it in. It was a big hit. People were surprised that a third grader went to the trouble to make a pie. And then it evolved over the years. I mean, as an adult, always was the one to make pies at holidays. But didn't really occur to me to make a profession of it. I went into, grew up in Baltimore, went to college in New Hampshire, and then got into local television news. I went to North Platte, Nebraska, because that's the one that would hire me to be a news reporter and weekend weatherman.
Nice.
I don't know anything about weather. You know, I just was good at.
He just read the script.
Yeah, pointing at maps and you know. So from there moved to Springfield, Illinois. Worked for another TV station, and then went to work on the communications public relations staff of the Illinois State Legislature. And was there for 4 years. I used to pass Barack Obama in the halls. Oh. Can't say I knew him, but he was an impressive guy, and didn't see all this coming. But anyway, so that's where I was. And then eventually, finally, got myself moved back home, but you know, kept in the public relations field. But always, you know, always made pies. People always tell me how much they loved them, and you know, I always had it in the back of my head to make my living making pies, but. You know,
but how to do that?
Right, exactly. How to do that, and it really didn't appeal to me to open a restaurant bakery. I still don't know anything about running a restaurant. Most of them fail. It seems like a little while after opening, so that just wasn't a good option. So one day, I signed up to be a food vendor at a festival. It was a fall festival in Crofton, Maryland. And just hung a sign out, sold pies by the slice, and man, people loved them. Were lining up, and then I did another festival shortly after them. Before I knew it, I was getting calls from restaurants, wanting my pies. And then there was a local grocery store. I live out in Anne Arundel County, Maryland, Bear's Honey Pot, a great local store. They started getting my pies, and man, I'd been renting some time in a caterer's kitchen, but pretty soon I needed commercial kitchen space. And I finally, you know, it came along enough that I was finally able to switch over and make that a job. And I came into Union Kitchen, and I've been, you know, wholesaling in varying degrees to grocery stores. Been able to grow it to, we're in about 30 to approximately 33 grocery stores throughout Virginia, DC, Baltimore, a couple up in the Philadelphia area. It's been an adventure. We're just a couple years into it, but it's been a lot of fun making pies and growing the business.
So you're in restaurants as well?
I mean, just two restaurants. Okay. Actually one. That isn't really my focus, but I do love, you know, I'll sell a few thousand pies to a grocery store or a couple dozen pies to a smaller, you know, chain or person who calls me up and wants one pie or a restaurant that gets a small amount. I'm happy to do it. But, Ari's Diner, I'll just plug them on, Fenwick Street over across from Union Kitchen in Ivy City has just started, getting my pies and serving them in their restaurants. So check out, Ari's Diner. It's a great place.
Yeah. Oh, that is great. It is great. So tell us about the flavors of your pies.
So I make a lot of them, and some, some a lot more than others.
Yeah, tell us the best, what sells out the best, yeah.
Well, apple seems to be so much of the pie sales just naturally are concentrated into Thanksgiving and then also Christmas. Mm-hmm. You know, we stay busy year round, but you know, that's, I saw call that the Super Bowl of pies. So I think in large part because of Thanksgiving, apple pie is overall the bestseller, and that does well throughout the year. Cherry pie, do a lot of that. Pecan pie, you know, I'm really proud of the pecan pie.
So am I.
Yeah,
I had nothing to do with it
because. I can't tell you how many people have my 8-year-old daughter accuses me of bragging. You shouldn't brag. I'm like, well, no, this is really people just bragging for
it
me.
Ain't
I'm
bragging
just
if you back it up.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
So many
Here's
people
my receipts.
Right, have told me that I never liked pecan pie before until I tried your. You know, so many people have told me that. And that really is a great thing to hear.
My wife said exactly that. I normally make the pies for my Thanksgiving, and I you know, sampled some of the pies. Well, quite a, I've eaten a lot of these Lord of the Pies, thanks to good food markets. And I was like, you know, if they're going to offer up the Thanksgiving style pies at full size, there's no way I'm going to bake because these are better than I can do. And so I got pecan pie because I'm from Texas and that's what we have. And my wife had never liked them.
They're too gritty typically.
Well, and she always thought they were too sugary.
And, yeah. But yours, and she was perfection.
Like, this is a wonderful pecan pie. Mm-hmm. So, yay.
Well, you know, and it used to be my secret recipe, but once they got into grocery stores, you kind of got to put the ingredients on the package. So now I can, you know, one thing that makes a big difference is with the corn syrup, put a little less corn syrup in and replace it with some real maple syrup.
Nice.
And that seems to make a big difference with the flavor. So the secret is out.
Wow.
There it is. But yeah, ask me about the flavor. So pumpkin pie, of course, is very big at Thanksgiving. Key lime pie, that's been a surprising and, you know, pleasant hit for me. It's popular. People think of it maybe as a more warm weather, summertime, you know, associated with
me
Florida,
too.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It is so popular year round.
Mm-hmm.
That does really well. And it's one of my favorites, too. But that's been real nice to see people enjoy that.
Yeah, it was a nice surprise to see that at Thanksgiving because I did have that at Thanksgiving and the pecan pie. So, and it was an even more exciting surprise when I found out that you had the big pies.
Right.
And that's not just seasonal, right? The big pies, you can get that. I know they don't carry them at Good Food all the time.
Right.
But.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. In some stores, some of the bigger stores carry the bigger pies, and a lot of you know, smaller stores like Good Food Markets carry the smaller. Yeah, absolutely. The big ones are available. I'm sure if you ask Casey at Good Food
right.
that you want
and
one,
yeah.
she'll let me know, and I'll be happy to make it. But
yeah,
Good Food Markets, I love having my pies in that store. Really good people, wonderful store. I just love working with them. And, man, it's amazing how much pie they move through that little store. So, you know, speaking of key lime, they sell a lot of key lime pie.
Thanks to Michelle.
Are you the one buying it all?
I'm one of the ones. Someone actually, I called one day to make sure there was a key lime pie there, and Casey put it up. And someone else did not realize they put it up for me, and they sold my pie. And I'm like,
oh no.
So,
well, you know how to, I'll make sure you know how to reach me if you've got
that's
a
key
lime pie emergency.
She said he's such a nice guy, and I said, I'll wait.
So David, are you the only one cooking?
No, I have some help, and you know, one great thing about being in Union Kitchen where I am, and that's, for those who don't know, it's a big shared commercial kitchen where businesses like mine who don't want to. Or it doesn't make sense for them to rent out or, you know, their own kitchen to share space and have space and storage and everything there. And one great thing about that is, since I, like I said, you know, get so much busier at the holidays, it's easy to scale up and down. There's people who work for other companies who you know, need some extra work, and I've been able to put a good team together when I need it and pull in, being at any time of the year, pull in people. As I need help, and you know, my dad's retired. He's not as good at being retired as my mom is. So yeah, he's in his 70s. He's a retired psychiatrist, actually. So I, you know, and he likes to come in a couple days a week and help out. He's a big help. It's great to spend time with him. Sometimes I have to just stop and take a brief, deep breath and say, free labor. but that's been great, too. So I got my dad helping out, too. So
nice.
That's awesome.
But, yeah, a lot of good people there. I can pull in and build a team when I need to.
That's good. We've had Union Kitchen in before. I didn't know that you could pull from other people. So that's a great thing to have access to. Do you ever think about doing any savory pies?
I do some quiches.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Not a great deal of them. There's a store out in Frederick called the Common Market, which is a real nice shopper-owned grocery store. They get some quiches from me. I guess my focus is dessert pies, but I make some pretty good quiche, so I'm always happy to. Well, actually, I should have thought of Good Food Markets first because they get some quiches from me too. Actually, I'm taking them some. Broccoli cheddar quiche today, so you'll be able in a couple of hours you'll be able to find them there.
Wow! Okay, right. That sounds good. Do you sell directly to people? Like if someone was doing a reunion or a wedding or something and they needed a larger order than they could get from their grocery store?
Sure, absolutely. I've done a couple of weddings. I'm going to be doing a wedding in June. I also get, some, companies, sometimes at the holidays that want to give them out as corporate gifts, mm-hmm. which is really is a great idea because people don't. It's a pleasant surprise to get a good pie for as a gift. So corporate gifts, and actually coming up, Pie Day.
Right.
March 14th, 314.
Right.
There's a couple of companies that are going to be having internal pie parties and then also giving some away. I'm always happy to do those. And, like I said, someone just wants one pie, then I'm happy to make one pie.
All right. So I think that this is where we should get you to settle a bet on on the small pies that you make. What are those? 4-inch rounds?
Six
inch rounds. Single serve or no?
Well, depends who's asking, my answer is that's a single serving, but
we go.
You won.
Right. So
I've been sharing this pie and I didn't need to.
That's right. You have been overly generous.
Depends how hungry you are.
All right.
When it comes to pie,
we're pretty hungry. We're pretty hungry. So anything that you plan on, anything that you can see for the future for Lord of the Pies? I know you said you weren't interested in maybe opening up a restaurant, but next steps.
Well, I think it's and I've really like the wholesale route, and to continue that, one thing, just I think distribution and delivery is probably just as hard as making the pies. And it's not the fun part either. Mm-hmm. It's a challenge. Well, one great thing about Union Kitchen is they have a distribution department. They've got trucks. They can take it where it needs to go. I deliver to some places like Good Food Markets myself. But as I need to, working on figuring out more distribution that will give me access to more customers, growing it from a wholesale standpoint. And the challenge will be, and it's something I'll insist on, is no matter how big we might grow, is to still have the same quality of pies. There's a lot of bad pie out there here.
Yes,
I won't name any grocery stores, but it's a $5 pie, and it's just not very good. So
I had a great aunt that she used to say, anybody can make cake. If you want to do something special, you need to make a good pie, because the crust is like an art.
The crust is the key. Yep.
Yeah.
And you've got that down.
Yeah.
I very rarely gush over desserts.
Yep. Yeah.
But I cannot get enough of the pie that you.
And the quality's consistent. It's consistent quality, which is important, especially in a small business. Sometimes it can go either way. And, everyone I've had has been just as good as the last.
Right, right. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. You can't disappoint people, especially as a small business.
Yeah. So I'm glad to finally have you here. I'm going to be wrestling match. I'm going to take Kyle down for this pie for our 100th episode.
I think we
pictures
might need
to come.
I was going to say we need to get that on video, maybe, or maybe not.
Yeah.
So, David, please let our listeners know where they can find out more about Lord of the Pies.
My website is lordofthepies.biz, B-I-Z. And that's because somebody's holding the .com hostage for a few $1,000s. So.
Biz works.
Yeah, biz.
Fine.
Why not? Yep. So lordofthepies.biz. There's a menu of the different pies that I do. Cheesecakes include, I should mention cheesecakes. Good Food Markets carries cheesecakes. That's something back when I was doing the festivals, there was a pizza place came to me and wanted me to do cheesecakes. They said, can you do cheesecakes? I'm like, oh, sure. Yeah. I can make a cheesecake. And then it ended up being one of my, real specialties. We sell a lot of cheesecakes, so those are on there, and there's contact information on there. Feel free to get in touch with me. happy, you know, like I said, if you want one pie or a lot more than that,
that's
happy
awesome.
To work
Talk
with
about
you.
Good customer service. Well, thank you, Dave, for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. It's been a lot of fun.
And listeners, you must get some of this pie. Check out Good Food Markets at 20th and Rhode Island Avenue Northeast to check that out. And your website's got different locations, like a I believe I saw on your website
right.
a map where you can find all,
yes,
all of your pies.
Yes,
Our East Diner, another Ward 5 location, all good stuff.
Yeah. So, Kyle, episode 100 is done.
It is. It is. And what a way to do it.
Yes. How awesome. Tell our listeners again about some of the prizes they can get.
Right. Thank you. So head over to the iTunes store for RIA Radio. Give us some feedback and thumbs up on the rating and
subscribe.
Subscribe, yep. And then shoot me an email at kyle@riamainstreet.org. kyle@riamainstreet.org. And let me know you did all that. And we'll send you some RIA Radio swag.
All right, awesome.
All right. Thanks a lot, everybody, for tuning in. It has been it's been a wonderful 100th episode.
It has.
Here's to another 100. And hope you all tune back in next week. We'll have another great guest lined up for you. And we will talk to you then.
See ya.
Bye.